Glory, glory, and honor. Miss Linda, hang on. Hang on, Miss Linda. Paula, Paula, come up here. Hey,
come on.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious saint. Thank you, Lord. We call the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. There is nothing too hard, nothing too big, nothing too impossible.
Yes.
Lord, those dry bones in the desert, they were bleached dry. 10 years, men dead, a whole army. And Lord, you raised them up. Yes, you raised up Lazarus, but most of all, you raised up Jesus. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. Lord, we just thank you. That same resurrection life and power is in us today.
Yes.
Lord, you said in Romans 8:11, the same spirit, the same spirit, the same spirit that rose Christ out of that grave is the same spirit alive in each one of us today.
Thank you,
and Lord,
Lord,
we receive resurrection life.
Yes.
We receive resurrection power.
Thank you, Lord.
And in the name of Jesus, we break off the spirit of death. You have no claim. You have no rights. You have no hold. But right now we receive. Healing power is present. Healing power is present in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak resurrection life. We speak resurrection power. And Father, we anoint. We anoint our sister with oil. And Father, we receive right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, the anointing. The anointing is removing burdens, destroying yokes, and we receive pain-free, cancer-free, healed and whole today. Healed and whole right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, we receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Yes, yes, healing power is present. It is active and it is flooding your body. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You came in one way and you're walking out another.
Hallelujah.
Healed and whole. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Victory.
Hallelujah.
Victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
All we see is victory.
Yeah.
We thank you for the victory.
Thank
victory
you,
life.
Thank
victory
you,
life. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. We rejoice. We rejoice and we give thanks in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory.
Woo.
Glory, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Come here. All right, praise the Lord. Let's just take a lap back and forth right here. Amen. We're just going to walk by faith.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to walk by faith.
Okay.
The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. Amen. So we're just taking a step
thank
of victory.
You, Lord.
What are we doing?
Thank
we're
you,
just
Lord.
Walking out
Hallelujah.
That victory. We thank you for the victory.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory
thank you, Lord. thank
Glory
you, Lord.
To God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
thank
to
you,
God.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory to
thank
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Inez. Inez.
Amen.
Will you come
thank
up
you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can sit down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You, Hallelujah.
Woo.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory
Woo.
To God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray over Inez. Thank you,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
In
Jesus'
thank you, Lord.
Name.
You want to stand behind
in
me.
In Jesus'
thank
name.
You, Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
in
you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, we receive.
Yes, thank you, Lord. We curse any ungodly thing in her body at the root. In the name of Jesus, cancer, you are a name.
Jesus' name.
Is the name above every name. We declare the life of God, the victory of God.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we thank you for absolute wholeness. We thank you for what you've been doing, for the improvement, for the life. The joy, the grace, and in the name of Jesus, totally free.
Thank you,
totally free.
Totally
free. Totally free. Hallelujah.
Totally
glory
free.
To God from the top of her head to the soles of her feet.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus'
be
name.
Made whole.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Yes. Resurrection power.
Thank you, Lord.
Resurrection power.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus'
name. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there anyone else who wants prayer while we're praying? Anyone else?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Healing anointing.
Glory to God.
Healing anointing.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, even while you're sitting here today throughout this service, the scripture says there's the washing of the water of the word. There is power in every word. There is no word from God that is without power. Not one. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God, it is alive and it is active. The word is active. It's always on the move. It'll prosper for the thing for which it has been sent. The word of God, it is a living thing. It's alive. It is active. Mm-hmm. So even while you're sitting here today, those of you watching, whenever you are, wherever you are, there is the anointed word of God flowing today. And we receive that even while you're sitting here, even while you're watching, that the word is washing over you. The word is going to work in your life, in your body, whatever you have need of.
Thank you, Lord.
And even by faith. Hook up with it. Hook out in faith and say, you know what? I receive a word from God today. I receive a healing touch today. That's for me. That belongs to me. In Christ Jesus, I already have it, and I take it by faith. I take it by faith today. Amen. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. So we believe that you're coming in here one way, but you're not walking out the same way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And even throughout this week, you're going to see things and you're going, hey, you know what? Praise God. You took care of this for me. You know what? You took care of that. That money just came. Amen. Whatever you have need of, he's there. He's there. He's
Glory
present.
To God.
Praise God. Hallelujah to
Praise
Jesus.
Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hosanna. In the highest. Hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Is there anything higher than the highest?
No.
Praise God. Is there anything higher than the highest? Whatever it is, there's nothing higher than our King Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Try standing up here after that. Praise God. Glory to God. The symbol of the palm is the return of our victorious conquering King Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessed day this is today. Palm Sunday, we want to welcome you today. First time, we thank you for coming today. Praise God. Welcome to Victory Life Family Church. Welcome to those of you online. If you want to know more about us, our website's vlfc.church. There is our past sermons there, audio, video, and also you can fill out prayer requests online, testimonies online. We expect those to be coming in. Amen. Glory to God. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and Instagram. And so subscribe, follow, like, and share. And praise God. How do y'all like the new chairs? Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all who have sown, for those online as well. We're excited about these. Pastor Rodney got back early on Friday, so he went ahead and brought them straight here. We were going to bring them in on Saturday, but he got back early, so we met out here and set them up, and we're excited to have these. We call every one of these filled with those that are called to be here in the name of Jesus, and we know the people are coming. Amen, and we're ready to receive them. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I also just a few quick announcements. I want to remind you of Pastor Rodney's daily devotional. It's posted every day on our website, vlfc.church, and it's also a link each morning onto Facebook. And so he's also been putting reels up every morning as well, and those are great. And so we encourage you to take time with that devotional. It probably takes 10 minutes to read it at the top, and it's the word of God, a prayer, a confession. Fills you up, gives you some meat for the morning right away. Sundays, doors open at 9, and pre-service prayer is 9:20 to 9:40. Mom, thank you for leading pre-service prayer. What a blessing, an anointed time. We appreciate it. We appreciate all who serve here. You know, we can't do it without you in the house of the Lord. And so we thank you so much. In a house, there's work to do. And so we're thankful for you, or for serving, for doing, for bringing palm leaves and making everybody a part of this service. Glory to God. He's so good. He's so faithful. So service begins at 10 on Sundays. Come early. And we always enjoy fellowship before church. And so we appreciate that as well. Wednesday nights, service starts at 6:30. Doors open at 6. And so we're here to enjoy one another. We'll have to talk about another fellowship dinner soon because we really enjoy those as well. For volunteers, if you are interested in greeting, ushering, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. So praise God, we have some openings for volunteering, and we're thankful for the opportunity for that. We're also calling in a keyboard up here, and we know that we'll get that at the right time as well. This week is Holy Week, and so we're having special services at our normal time. Yes, John was up here. I know he can play that guitar, and so we might have to tap into that talent and gifting there. Praise God. So we encourage you, bring someone to church. Bring someone to church and not just a random invite. We have these cards here, and we encourage you, take one, invite friends, invite family, invite strangers that God leads you to. If you're out in public and he says, hey, you know, there may be somebody that's out there that, you know, this is what they need. We know that we need to come to the Lord in these times. And so this is a time that people are searching, and it's a time that people are open, you know, to come to church. But it's not just that we want them to come to church. We want to see them saved, set free, healed, delivered, on fire, finding the call of God for their life, because there's nothing fulfilling in life unless we're living our calling out, right, for him, because everybody has something specific to do in life. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 95 years old. He has a call on you, and it's not too late. I just want to say that. It's not too late for any of us. My grandma, she didn't even start driving a car till she was 55 years old. And I always think of that, and I think, well, if she waited that long to drive, you know? I mean, that encouraged me. There's still things out there for us to learn, to do, and the gifts and callings of God within you are not without repentance, right? Amen. All right, so praise God. Let's see if I, so with the offering this morning, let's see, Pastor Rodney here. we have an ad campaign in the newspaper. Social media has started for a 6-week ad campaign. We have new signage out front, and we're believing for one more sign as well. Also for better lighting in this room, and also for our own property and building of our own, with lots of room for growth, prayer groups, connect group, nursery, children's ministry, and a fellowship hall. So we're going to continue releasing our faith in increments for these things. And the next phase we're believing for is $5,000 by the end of May. So far, $670 has come in, and that's $4,330 remaining. So we're asking you to believe with us, release your faith, and watch God do what only he can do. And we're calling in the harvest from the chairs. Amen. Praise God. He has a harvest for us. If you're sowing for the building fund, there online, it's general or building fund. It drops down. If you're given by cash or card on the offering envelopes, you can just write it in there, or on the check, you can write building fund if it's for the building fund. That way we can delegate it to the right place. If you're given by cash this morning, I'm jumping ahead, but I'll go ahead and say all this. Please sign the signature line of the offering envelope, and please make checks payable to VLFC. Online, your information's on the screen. And since I went ahead and did that, I will give us our offering scripture this morning. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 17 through 20. Philippians 4, verse 17 through 20. I'm excited this morning. I feel like I'm jumping around all these announcements. One of these days, I'm thankful to get to do announcements. These can be fun. But I said one day we'll have it up on the video here, and, you know, it could be played, the announcements, and glory to God. Because after that time of prayer, you know, it's a little, you're trying to stand up here, and glory to God. He helps us, doesn't he? He helps us. Thank you for your help, Holy Spirit. So Philippians 4, 17 through 20. I love this verse passage, and this is the Amplified Classic. It says, not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your account. Say increase. We have a God of increase. Glory to God. The harvest of blessing that is accumulated to your account. But I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need, and I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and sacrifice which God welcomes and which he delights. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you have a need, there's a promise here that he will supply it. Amen. Yes. He will supply it. And it says, to our God, the Father, be glory forever and ever. Don't you know these chairs that came in? I was thinking about this. You know, when we're given these messages, it's not for our benefit, right? We always say our motivation for accumulation is distribution. We're here to be a blessing to the community. These chairs are kingdom work. Their kingdom, eternal advancement. They're for the kingdom of God. This is an eternal seed you're sowing. It's an eternal offering that you're giving. So it's not just here and now, right? This is connected to our eternity. People are going to come fill these chairs and get saved, get healed, get delivered, hear the word of God, and learn how to walk out our call on life. And so this is not just that we're plunking it in the basket. This is on purpose. It's connected to divine destiny. And I want to encourage you. He says, not that I'm eager for your gift, but I seek for the fruit to your account, that the harvest of blessing to your account. And so I just want to remind you of that. And so I want to pray over our offering this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every seed sown, for every person here. In Jesus' name, for the tithe, the offering, the blessings that you have brought in through them, that it's seed sown into your eternal kingdom. There is a weightiness to it. It's attached to give you glory, Father. And we thank you for the harvest for each and everyone's personal life, for their homes, for their businesses, for their households, for their children, for the things that they need. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. We thank you for it. And if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. And as I'm going, you can receive the offering. Say this after me, the blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid. We call every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome here to Palm Sunday. Thank you, Lord. What a glorious, glorious event. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just good to be here in the house of the Lord, worshiping with everybody today. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Yes, that I'm saved. That I'm in the kingdom of God. Yes, heaven is our home, not someday, but right now. Hallelujah. You know, the word tells us here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He says here, if then you were raised. How many were raised? With Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If I was raised, I have been raised. Yes, my earth suit remains on this earth, but in the spirit, I am here, but I'm also there. In the spirit, he said, the scripture says, the spirit, he fills all in all. So it's true that, yes, I'm personally present in this body, but in the spirit, I've also been raised with Christ to newness of life. He says in verse 2, set your mind. That's a command. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. At the new birth, you were raised, you were seated together in heavenly places in Christ at the Father's right hand. That is your eternal position. That's your eternal position, and you occupy it right now. You occupy that position in Christ right now. All that is Christ, all that belongs to Christ is yours right now. Healing is yours now. He is Christ the healer. He is your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. That word provider, it means God not only provides in the moment, he says God sees ahead and he's already made provision for that place. Wherever you're at, whatever may have come along, God already saw, he already knew it from before the foundation of the earth. He's already made a way of escape. He's already made the provision. He's put it all in Christ, and he says, it's yours. It's yours. Before you ever ask, he says, the word is already yes and amen. Yes, I believe I believe that. Yes, by faith I receive that. Amen. It's mine. So be it unto me according to your word. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we're going to be looking here today, here in this holy week, starting with Christ Jesus, the final Passover lamb. The final Passover lamb. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray over this message and we'll get into it. Father God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus. Oh, oh, yes, he came. Every part of his life was to identify with our sin, with my sin, to pay the sin price for once, for all time. And Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for that today. And Lord, we ask you as we come to this message today, throughout this week, Lord, that you are unveiling this truth to us, helping us see more clearly the price that was paid, to see who we are now, what we have, and what we can do in Christ because of this sacrifice. And Father, we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, the hard copy or soft copy or whatever you have, hold it up big and let's all say it together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it's so good. So good. I'm going to stay on today's message. Praise God. So today, on this Palm Sunday, we are celebrating what the church has often referred to as Palm Sunday. And what is it? It is the day Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, greeted by crowds waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna! 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 So Palm Sunday, looking at this, what it really is, Palm Sunday is the presentation of the final Passover lamb. This moment, looking back, it had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years. This moment was prophetic, it was intentional, it was precise, and it was divinely orchestrated. So looking here, Jesus is not just entering Jerusalem as he did 100 times before or more. He was fulfilling scripture and the entire Passover system that was established 1,500 years before. 1,500 years before. We saw this in Egypt when they were getting ready to go out of Egypt and to head out into the promised land. God institutes the Passover system. Right? And you can find that over in Exodus chapter 12. They would take the Passover lamb. They slew it. They took the blood and they applied it on the doorpost and up and down the lintels there. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over. So judgment needs to come, but when I see the blood, I'll pass over. So if you'll have faith in the blood and you will apply the blood over your doorpost, I'm going to pass over. If you don't, not so good, right? But all you got to do is, and it was so simple. I mean, there was nothing complicated about this. There's plenty of lambs. That's no problem. Go find one without spot or without blemish. Go take the blood and dip it over the over your door. All right? So simple. God made it easy. God made it easy, right? So he, even here today, when we see the blood of Jesus, it's already been shed. It's already been provided. And all you got to do is say, you know what? I have faith in the blood. I have faith in the sacrifice that Jesus paid for my life. And he's passing over. He's not rendering judgment that I deserve, but even more so, he's now joined us together in Christ. Amen. We'll see more of that throughout the week. Glory to God. So again, this has been going on for 1500 years. So what we see here today is Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And looking at this, this is not a parade. It may have looked like that in one sense, but that's not what it was. It was the revelation of the Lamb of God. So today's message is going to help us to understand the biblical, historical, and prophetic significance of Palm Sunday and why it still matters for us today. So I have a few points. So the first one I want to look at is Jesus' triumphant entry was a fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So looking here, this was 500 years before. Approximately 500 to 520 years before Zechariah prophesied this during the Babylonian exile, right? So 500 years before Jesus was born. So if you recall, they were Jerusalem, Israel was captured, taken over captive into Babylon. Now, if you also recall, Cyrus the Great said, y'all can go back, a remnant of you, and rebuild the temple. So he gave them some money, gave them leave. And so they were going back, this remnant, to build the temple. And so Zechariah is encouraging them while they're rebuilding the city walls. And God gives him this word, saying, hey, you're rebuilding the temple. Well, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. I know you've been exiled. I know you've been in bondage. But let me tell you about the victory. Let me tell you about the Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So looking here, this passage, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Daughter of Zion was a phrase they used to describe Jerusalem. So when you see daughter of Zion in Scripture, that is Jerusalem. So this prophecy was aimed directly at the city Jesus would enter. So there's no doubt about it. We're rebuilding this temple. We're rebuilding this city. Jesus is going to come back here to Jerusalem. He's going to come through these gates, or the Christ is going to come through these gates, and it's going to be triumphant. So we're going to rejoice greatly when he does. Hallelujah. Salvation is at hand. But also see here in this passage, he says, see that your king comes to you righteous and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey. Well, that's really interesting when you think about it, because when a conquering king would enter a city, which is very, 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 you know, I'm sure you maybe have seen movies and stuff in the past of the Roman Empire, and that's a very good image. The kings would come in after a great campaign, and there's a huge parade, a procession, and they're not riding on a donkey. No, they're riding in the chariot. They're riding on top of the finest horses in the world. But here's your conquering king, righteous and victorious, on a donkey. That just, to the mind, to the natural, that would not make sense. No one has ever done that, right? So in the ancient world, a war horse symbolized conquest. A donkey symbolizes peace, priesthood, and service. So again, this is prophecy. Jesus enters not as a political conqueror, not as the warrior king, but as the Prince of Peace and the final Passover lamb. Amen. All four Gospels record this moment. So when we're going to look at here today, all four Gospels have recorded this and in great detail. Now, a lot of times when you see stories in the Gospel, you'll see it once or you'll see it two, maybe three times. Rarely do you see something recorded four times. So again, the Holy Spirit wrote this through these men, but when he writes it four times, pay attention. He is highlighting this. Hey, this is a big deal. And so this is why I recorded it this way. So really, Palm Sunday is heaven saying, pay attention. Those of you reading, your king has come and he is king. Christ is the king. It didn't, you know, and so there were some different things they thought about it in the moment, but we're going to look at one of those passages. We're not going to go through all four of them, but we're going to take a look in particular at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11 here in our notes. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent out two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone questions you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So again, before Jesus ever got to the point of needing something, he already knew where the provision was. We've been talking about this in recent weeks. We've been sharing on the subject of faith, you know, but and hand in hand with that is prayer. Prayer is simply defined as communion with God. And prayer is really not prayer until you've heard from God. If all you've done is show up in your prayer closet, oh, God, I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want, please help, help, help. And then you just turn around and walk out of your prayer closet. That's not prayer, right? God already knows you need those things anyway. You're not informing him, right? We're to come and have conversation, you know, and he who knows everything is the one who ought to do most of the talking. So spend time. Spend time to hear. So we saw this in the life of Jesus. He was drawn away continually, getting up early in the morning ahead of everybody else. He said, the Bible says he would draw away into a deserted place to spend time in prayer with the Father. And sometimes he spent all night, right? Hearing from him was the paramount thing in his life. Obviously, when you see this, he had revelation knowledge. Hey, you're going to need to ride in on a donkey, and this is going to be a colt, one who's never been ridden before, and there's where it is. And so I'm going to send a couple of boys over there, and when they get there, if anybody asks, you're going to tell them. But here's the good news. God's already spoke to that man as well, and he already knows if I'm going to ask, they're going to tell me this, and I'm going to say, yeah, no problem. So if you can imagine, you've got a brand new car, a brand new car. Amen. And someone shows up at your house. Hey, I've got a guy over here who has need of your vehicle. Yeah, no problem. Go ahead. Right? Unless you've heard from God. I don't know you and I don't know what's going on, but no, you can't come and just take my brand new car. Hallelujah. I might come over and give you a ride, but no, I don't know about that. Hallelujah. So just that's a side note, but praise God. He says this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A massive crowd, say massive. Massive crowds spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees. So something kind of like this here. They cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus had entered Jerusalem, the whole city, say the whole city, was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds replied, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So take note of a few things here. First, the Passover. The Passover was one of seven feast days of the Lord. If you'll recall last year, the Lord had us go through those seven feast days of the Lord, which was very interesting. You know, just I love history. And so I love to be able to study the Bible and go through and look at the significance of these things. But the Passover was one really in the scripture calls Passover the week of Passover. Even the disciples, when you go through the Gospels, they call it the week of Passover. But really, Passover is the first feast day of the Lord. It's when the Passover lamb was slain every year, and that lamb was to be slain, and it covered the sins of the people. However, the Seder meal, the Passover meal, actually didn't take place until the next day. So what would happen is somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the lamb was sacrificed in the temple. And so all across Israel, they're coming up, they're taking their sacrificial lamb, and also in their houses, they're doing just like they did in Egypt. They're following the exact same pattern. They would take that lamb, they would roast it over fire, they would consume it, and that was called the Seder meal. But that actually didn't happen until later that evening, which for Israel is the next day. So for Israel, their day starts at sundown. So in the West, our days, we start them at midnight. For them, that's mid, you know, in the middle of the night, not the start of their day. So their day would start at, you know, give or take 6 o'clock in the evening. So somewhere around 3 o'clock, they killed the lamb. At somewhere around 6:30, 7 o'clock, they were actually having that Seder meal, which for them is the next day. So Passover would take place on one day. The Seder meal would actually take place on that evening, which was really the start of the second feast day known as Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread would actually last a period of 7 days, in which we also see the third feast day of the Lord. So there's seven feast days of the Lord in all. All three are really take place in the course of 1 week. And we'll see here, he fulfills all three of them at one time. All right. So, and obviously first fruits is Resurrection Sunday, which we're going to talk about next Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise God. So just kind of interesting things, but this during Passover, every Jewish male, an adult male, was required to come to Jerusalem for Passover. Also, they were required to come again for Pentecost and for the Feast of Tabernacles. So there's seven in all. But every adult male is required to be here for these three feasts, all right? Most of the time, they would bring their families, which caused Jerusalem to swell to several times its normal size. Several times its normal size. So this place is busting at the seams. There's going to be people camped outside just because they can't even get into the city, you know, except to, you know, back and forth. It's so massive. The city wasn't built for that, you know, not for that size. So the week of Passover, again, is often encompassed in these first three feast days. Again, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Again, Jesus fulfills all three of these feast days during this week, and then 50 days later, he fulfills the fourth feast day of Pentecost. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So just a side note here, the three fall feasts of the Lord still remain. These have not yet been fulfilled. But again, we saw when and how they're going to be fulfilled in a study we did last year. First is the Feast of Trumpets, which is going to be when the Lord returns. He's not going to touch down on the earth. It says that he's going to come, the archangel is going to blow the trumpet, and we're going to meet him in the air. Next, we have the Day of Atonement, which is actually going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to split in two. There's going to be a little bit of period of time. The Battle of Armageddon is going to come. It's not going to be good for those who oppose Jesus. It just never is. You know, Jesus is going to take his seat in the temple, and there we're going to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, which is when Jesus is going to take his place on the throne and reign there for 1,000 years. That is God dwelling among us, the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we're going to wrap the whole thing up at the end of that with the Great White Throne Judgment, new heavens, new earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. So again, Passover, the men would usually travel with their entire family, such as we saw with Joseph and Mary when Jesus was 13 years old. They brought the whole family family, and they would also caravan and travel together with other families. If you recall, the family came at Passover. However, Jesus remained in the temple, you know, having discussion with the leaders, with these leaders. That was 20 years prior to this. These same leaders are in that temple. They undoubtedly, they remember Jesus even over the years of, as they've seen him. And even over these last 3.5 years in his earthly ministry, they knew who this kid, they knew who he was. All right. They remembered him. But what we saw here is Joseph and Mary, the family, they left and they traveled all day long. And it wasn't until that night that they even realized Jesus was missing. Well, how could that be? Well, number one, they had a large family, but they caravaned with a whole bunch of families, probably from Nazareth. So they would all travel together in these large groups. So if you can imagine, you've got 10, 15, 20 families and, you know, 57 kids running around, you know, maybe they hadn't figured out we need to do a head count here, you know. But either way, the day went by, and it wasn't until that night that they realized Jesus wasn't there. So they journeyed back to Jerusalem. It took them a while. They finally found him in the temple. So again, Jesus was there for 3 days, just, you know, having a good time. And then he says, "Hey, why didn't you come with us?" Well, he says, "You know, I must be about Father's business." But again, this was the idea. There were so many people there, and it was massive, massive crowds. Multitudes came from every direction. So during this time, there was Philo Judaeus, who's a prominent Jewish leader, who was from Alexandria, Egypt. He wrote that multitudes of people from multitudes of cities flowed in an endless stream to the Holy Temple for each festival. They came from the north and the east and from the west and from the south. So again, more people came into Jerusalem to celebrate and observe Passover than any other time or festival each year. So again, only the adult males were required, but it seems like Passover was the one where they brought the whole family. This was a major deal. And they didn't just come from the Jews, didn't just live in Israel. He, for example, he lived in Alexandria, Egypt. They lived all across the Mediterranean, but they would take their families and they would all journey to Jerusalem at least once a year. And if it's going to be once a year, they're going to come to this one. All right. Hallelujah. So looking here, Jesus enters the exact time the Passover lamb was chosen. So again, according to Exodus 12, the Passover lamb was selected on the 10th day of Nisan. It must be brought into the temple. It must be publicly presented. It must be examined or inspected for blemishes. It cannot have any. Looking here also, Jesus enters Jerusalem and into the temple on the 10th day of Nisan, same day. Every step he takes mirrors the Passover lamb. This is not a coincidence. God's not reacting to events. He is absolutely directing them. And every step Jesus took was on that same prophetic timetable. So again, we see God exists outside of time. Time does not work like it does for him. We can see in the scripture, it says over in Ephesians chapter 1, that even from before the foundations of the earth, before God ever said light be and light was, he says, "I saw you, I knew you, and I saw you were going to say yes to Jesus." And so he says, "I've accepted you, I've chosen you into my family." Ephesians 1:6 says, "I have accepted you into the beloved." Amen. So God sees this. So even though he's given them this dress rehearsal year after year after year, this is just a dress rehearsal. And all of it's pointed to Jesus. All seven feast days, everything you see in that is all pointing to the Christ who's one day going to come and fulfill exactly what we've been playing out. Yeah. And so a big part of this is so that they will recognize, hey, this is the Christ. Or even that on this side of things, we can look back and say, yeah, Jesus came and he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies in this one time, which he does. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. He fulfills every single one of them right down to the final detail. We'll see more about this on Wednesday night. We're going to be taking a look at his passion. And in particular, we're going to be looking at the seven places that Jesus shed his blood for us. But one thing to take note of, Jesus dies on the cross at 3:00 in the afternoon. That is exactly the same time in the temple where they're sacrificing the Passover lamb. The exact same time he's giving it up on the cross, the Passover lamb's being slain in the temple. blood's being shed, life for a life. The sins at that moment is when the Passover lamb, that blood was shed, the sins of the nation are taken care of. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, again, he's not just entering Jerusalem. He's presenting himself as the final Passover lamb. This has been going on 1,500 years. 1,500 years. That's a long time. God's faithful. Every word from God is not without power or impossible of fulfillment. It doesn't matter how long it takes, it shall surely come to pass. So seeing here also, people spread cloaks and branches before him. This was an ancient way of honoring a king. So the crowds cut down palm branches. They took off their outer tunics and even their prayer shawls or their tallit. So again, with people, even now, I was over there in December and I sent pictures of it. I think some of y'all saw them, but you go over to the temple, over to the Western Wall, Wailing Wall, you know, they have their prayer shawls and they got, you know, the tallit and they'll put this over their heads and they'll go in there to pray sometimes for hours. This is a very, very, very precious, holy thing. They're taking these prayer shawls and they're laying them out. Not, they wouldn't do this for anybody else, but they're doing it for the Christ. They're recognizing this is the Christ. They shouted, "Praise God for the Son of David." Son of David is not just a casual term. If you'll recall who was blind, Bartimaeus, and specifically, he's on the roadside. There's a throng around Jesus, and he hears about Jesus is passing by. So he's hollering out, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus hears it and stops in his tracks. Somebody has placed a faith demand on him. Son of David? This is the equivalent of Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is exactly, so Bartimaeus had obviously, somebody's been telling him about Jesus. He's been hearing some things. And so he responds, "Christ, Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me." Amen. We know what happens. Jesus heals him. So again, Son of David is a specific messianic title declaring Jesus to be the long-awaited king from David's line sent to restore Israel and rule forever as promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. We also see in John 6, 14, 15, when the people saw the sign that Jesus had performed. So again, he had just fed the multitude loaves and fishes. I mean, that was pretty awesome, right? Only God could do such a thing. So when the people saw the sign that Jesus had performed, they began to say, "Truly, this is the prophet." Not a prophet. There's been other prophets. No, it said, "This is the prophet who has come into the world." Then Jesus realizing they were about to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So there is a seat in the temple. And that seat is, and again, during the tribulation. So again, there's going to be the catching away of the saints. Any day now, Jesus is going to return. We're going to meet him in the air. During that time, we're going to go through the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. On the earth, you'll have 3.5 years of peace. They're going to have 3.5 years of hell on earth. It's going to be really, really, really bad. I wouldn't want to be here. But they're going to rebuild the temple. And there is a seat in that temple that they're waiting on Christ to come back and sit on that. Because when he does, that's when the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be fulfilled. So at this time, the temple's there, the seat's there. They say, "This is the guy. This is the prophet. This is the Son of David." So again, there was a whole bunch about to go grab hold of him and put him in that seat. Like it or not, now's the time. Romans, get off of our neck. We're going to have some victory here. This is what they were ready to do. So when he's coming into Jerusalem, they're thinking, he's coming now. Now's the time. So again, they're expecting Jesus to come into the temple, take that seat, kick the Romans out, and we're going to have us some days of heaven on earth. This is what they were thinking. All right. They shout, "Hosanna." Hosanna literally means "save us now." So what do they say? "Hosanna, Son of David. Save us now, Christ." Save us now, Christ. Save us now, Christ. The crowds, I mean, Jesus has been out here for 3.5 years, and there's been some awesome miracles. Again, just right before this, Lazarus was raised from the dead. That made headlines, right? Yeah, the temple, that, you know, the Sadducees weren't too happy. Again, the Sadducees, there's several sects within what's made up the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling class. So again, Israel is a theocracy ruled by the Sanhedrin. But in the Sanhedrin, you have the Sadducees, which is a religious sect, or you could say a denomination. And then you also have the Pharisees. These are the two main ones. And then you have scribes and lawyers and all these other, but these two main sects are Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, something to note about the Sadducees is they do not believe in resurrection. They believe that this life is lived. Once you're done, you're done. Ashes to ashes. There is no afterlife. That's why they're sad, you see. Right? Amen. Ha ha. But again, so when Lazarus is raised from the dead, that's a really, really, really big problem for their theology. This isn't supposed to be. This isn't supposed to happen. So what did they say? We're going to go kill Lazarus. And we're going to go kill Jesus, because we can't have people out here resurrecting from the dead, because that just, you know, we teach and preach. That just doesn't line up with our theology, right? We're going to kick you out of our denomination if you do stuff like that, which is really, I still can't get over the thinking of this, you know, but it's like Lazarus was raised from the dead. You think you're going to go kill him again so Jesus can raise him again? I mean, it's like, how does this work out? I know, ha ha. Of course, they do end up killing Jesus, but it doesn't stick. That really messed them up on that deal. But hallelujah. So again, they're shouting, Hosanna, save us now. They're crying out for political deliverance, but Jesus was coming to bring eternal salvation. Also note here, it says the city was stirred. Different translations will also say shaken or an uproar. But this word, when you go back to the Greek, is the word seo. It means to shake. It means an uproar. It means to rock. It means to vibrate, to agitate in any direction. So if you can imagine an agitator in your washing machine, it's not agitated as in I'm irritated. It's agitated as there is some, I mean, serious agitation, commotion, movement in any and every direction. It means to cause, to tremble, to move, or to quake. So if there was an earthquake, this is something that this is a term you would use, which also just happens to be about 3 days later when Jesus does die on the cross. There is a massive CO. There is a massive earthquake that takes place at that time. So again, the city is shaken. Huh. Thank you, Lord. So we see here that Jerusalem itself was literally shaken like an earthquake at Jesus's arrival. I mean, there is tremendous, tremendous. Again, the scripture said there is a massive crowd, and they are shouting. They are praising with all of their might. This has been going on for years and years and years and years. We've lived under this hard oppression, not just by the Roman Empire. Pontius Pilate was especially cruel. He was especially cruel. He hated the Jews. He hated the temple. He hated everything to do with it. In fact, he actually didn't live in Jerusalem. He would only visit there with his legion just to keep peace and order during these festivals. Outside of that, he was going back. He was not staying there in Jerusalem, but he happened to be here at this time because of this. All right. So again, Jerusalem is literally shaken like an earthquake at Jesus's arrival. They celebrate the moment, but they're missing the meaning of it. Again, Jerusalem was stirred, but they were not yet awakened. They were excited, but they were not transformed. They were moved, but they were not surrendered. They did not realize that Jesus was entering as the spotless, sinless, pure, and final Passover Lamb of God. So we see here Jesus enters as that final Passover Lamb. John the Baptist in John 1:29 identifies him. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he's baptized at the Jordan River. It says here in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He did not come as the conquering king. He came as that final Passover lamb to, number one, deal with sin. Before we're going to have Feast of Tabernacles and literally sitting side by side with God, you got to take care of sin. Sin cannot live in the presence of God. I've got to remove the barrier, the walls of separation between us before I can say, now, hey, let's sit together. All right. Amen. So look in here, the lamb, the Passover lamb had to be, number one, chosen, examined, found without blemish, and then also presented publicly. In the Old Testament, the lamb was taken to the temple and was inspected for several days. They had to look it over and make sure that the lamb was perfect in every way. The lamb will be declared pure after 50 separate tests, a thorough examination. Because again, you're only as clean as your sacrifice. If I go to make sacrifice and there's a blemish, it will not be accepted. I will not be clean. This thing is for the nation. It has to be sinless. It has to be spotless. It has to be pure. Well, just another fun side note. We talk about this at Christmas time, but Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is not very far at all from Jerusalem. And if you'll recall, the shepherds out there raising those sheep were for the Passover. They were raising sheep to be used in the temple sacrifice primarily because, again, you're talking about upwards of 500,000 lambs being slaughtered every year for the Passover alone, not to mention throughout the other course of the year. But so these were shepherds employed by the temple. Jesus is laid in Jesus when he's born in that in a cave. I know a lot of times you'll see it depicted with, you know, a wooden structure or something. No. He was born inside of a cave, which there's many of them out there in Bethlehem and in that surrounding area. That's the way the countryside is. He was in a cave and he was placed in a rock that was hewn out. So what the shepherds would do when the lambs were born, they would birth them in these caves. They would swaddle them so that they don't thrash about. You know, because if they're thrashing around and get injured when they're young, well, that's no good for the sacrifice. So they would swaddle them and they would lay them in this stone manger. He entered this world as the lamb destined to end up here as the Passover lamb, the final Passover lamb. Every part of his life, it's so amazing to see God at work. Huh? Thank you, Lord. So in the Gospels also, Jesus is questioned. So again, these next few days, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be examined by the high priest, by the father of the high priest, Annas, who was a former high priest. And he's going to be examined by Pilate. He's also going to be examined by Herod. So Jesus is questioned. He's tested. He's challenged. He's scrutinized. And no fault is found in him. If you'll remember Pilate, who was the supreme authority in the land, he says, I find no fault in this man. Yeah. And they said, no, we want him dead. There's a lot of reasons for that. He said, he says, I find no fault in him. He says, I wash my hands of this. Yeah. But due to political pressure, which is, that's a whole nother backstory, Pilate succumbs and gives into it, which is really interesting because Pilate, again, is absolutely ruthless. He has slaughtered many Jews. For some reason, though, he's not too interested in killing Jesus. Again, his wife has already had a dream, and his answers really astounded Pilate. And he just, you know, this is a holy man. I don't really want any part of this. But it really came down to if he did not follow through because the Sanhedrin had boxed him in. They put him together, and it was going to come back. Either he's going to kill Jesus, or he's going to, they're going to have his head. You know, Rome is going to have his head because now here's this other king who's come up. You know, and Rome is not about having two kings, right? So there was a whole thing in that, but. Praise God. So again, he's examined by man, but he is approved by God, and no fault was found in him. They killed him because they were jealous of him. We see here also Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 41, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if only you had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Why did Jesus weep? They wanted a political king. God sent a lamb. They wanted a throne, but God sent a cross. They wanted deliverance from Rome, but God sent deliverance from sin. A lot of times people want God on their level or according to their desires. You know, they treat the word of God like a buffet, like it's optional. You know, a lot of times you when you're talking about ministry and healing to somebody, people have the idea of, yeah, I just want to get healed so I can watch TV all day without pain. God doesn't heal you so that you can watch more TV, you know, in comfort. God doesn't bless you just so you can just keep buying more and more and more stuff, right? Nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with being healed. He is the healer. But again, you were saved to serve. If you're still drawing breath on this earth, and if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are here for a kingdom purpose. And if you don't know what that is, number one in your life is to find out what it is and go do it. Amen. Because there's nothing else that matters. Jesus said before he left, he said, occupy until I come. We again, just like Jesus at 13 years old, he says, I must be about Father's business. What is Father's business in your life? What does the Great Commission look like in your life? Again, we are called to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you personally need to hop up here and go to South America and start, you know, preaching or hopping out here on the street corners. But there is a part that he would have you play in fulfilling that Great Commission. Amen. That's why I'm healed. That's why, even though I'm saved, that's why I'm still here. Amen. I must be about Father's business. Again, they want deliverance from Rome. God sends deliverance from sin. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be able to have, you know, Jesus come and take over so that we can just go back to the way things used to be. I just want to be comfortable, right? I just want to do business without having to pay such high taxes. You know, I don't want to be oppressed in this manner. I just want to be free to do whatever I want to do. But are we interested in what God wants to do and how he wants to do it? So again, they missed the lamb and they did not recognize the day of their visitation. Now, notice in here, sin created a separation from a holy God and humanity, making salvation and the restoration of righteousness necessary before he could dwell among us. The scripture says in 1 John 3:8, this is why the Son of God was revealed, to destroy. That word destroy means to unravel the works of the devil. So Jesus came and literally unraveled sin and all of its effects all the way back to Adam, as though sin never happened in your life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the old you dies the death of the cross with him, and you are raised to newness of life as though sin never happened. Christ does not have a sin past. In Christ, you as well do not have a sin past. Well, I remember that dirty old Rodney. That dirty old Rodney died the death of the cross. He doesn't exist anymore. Amen. Well, I missed it this morning. Yes, in your flesh, you may have missed it, but the blood of Jesus is still on the mercy seat in the highest court of heaven, speaking righteousness. Now, the scripture says you are in Christ. Christ is in you. Whatever is in Christ is righteous. There's no unrighteousness in Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So again, this is why the Son of God was revealed, to destroy or to unravel the works of the devil. Jesus Christ, this sacrificial act of his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, was the price that had to be paid to restore us back to the Father as the sons of God. Again, I can't come and tabernacle among you for all of eternity if there's sin present. I've got to deal with the sin first. We'll take care of that other in time. Again, this is part of the seven feast days of the Lord. Every one of them will be fulfilled in absolute order. So the first three are fulfilled in succession. The fourth one, Pentecost, is fulfilled 50 days later. Again, the next one is Feast of Trumpets. After that, Atonement. After that, Tabernacles. Glory to God. It's all in divine order. You can't have tabernacles without Passover. Glory to God. So again, Jesus makes it possible for this to take place. So again, Palm Sunday, looking here, warns us not to confuse excitement with surrender. We do not confuse excitement with surrender. They were excited. They were thrilled. Hosanna. Son of David, deliver us, save us, come take your place, kick the Romans out, we're going to be free, oh, we're going to be free. What they received was so much better, but they weren't excited about that after the fact, right? At least knows that, you know, many did and got saved, praise God, and we're here today, but glory to God. So again, do not confuse excitement with surrender. I've seen it before in people's lives. You know, we've been in ministry a number of years and been going to church a long time. But, you know, we've seen revivals and healing revivals and all these different types of things and conventions. And people a lot of times get excited about what's going on in the moment, especially when you see a move of God and especially when it's a massive move of God. People can get really excited, but they're in no way surrendering themselves. They're just excited for a move of God, and they want to see God move, and they want to see some things happen, but they're not really interested in change. They're not interested in true repentance. They're not interested necessarily in coming up in higher, but they enjoy a good encounter. Amen? Don't miss the day of your visitation. You know, the Lord showed something to me here a while back, even just concerning coming to church. Every time we come together, it is a holy visitation from the head of the church every time, every single time. And a lot of times people are looking for that spectacular loaves and fishes. They're looking for all of these things, and they're missing God in the absolute ordinary day-to-day things. Amen. They're missing when they're coming and not hearing from God. Again, I've shared this over the years so many times. I've been sitting in church, pastors preaching on, you know, whatever the subject is, and I'm sitting there and I'm just focusing on the message. I'm taking my notes and what have you. And then Holy Spirit will just speak something to my heart, and it'll be an answer to a question that I've had need of. It had nothing to do with what pastor's preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. And I've had that happen time after time after time again, just sitting in church. Just sitting in church. Amen. Or just or at a convention, at a meeting, I'm hearing from God. Why? I'm honoring God. I'm putting first things first. And while I'm honoring God, He's honoring me.
Thank you.
Amen. Those who honor me, I will honor. Don't miss the day of your visitation. Jesus is weeping because they're missing the day of their visitation. So many of this crowd that is excited today, they'll fizzle out. There feels a lot. Now, again, on the day of Pentecost, we saw 3,000 get saved, and you saw a few thousand get saved after that. But by and large, most of this crowd just fizzled away. They were there for the loaves. They were there for the fishes. They're there for the show, but there's no surrender. Amen. That's something just to watch in our own lives. So again, do not confuse excitement with true surrender. Every move that Jesus made was a reenactment of the final Passover lamb. Jesus was chosen and brought into the temple on the exact same day. Again, He's examined by the priests and the leaders. He's sacrificed at the same hour the lambs were slain on Passover. Jesus is not just a symbol of the Passover. He is the fulfillment of the Passover feast. Again, one of seven, He fulfills it to the absolute letter. Again, every Passover lamb for 1,500 years pointed to Jesus, along with every Old Testament sacrifice pointed to and is fulfilled by Him. So what does Palm Sunday mean for us today? Number one, Jesus still comes in humility. He still comes in humility. He's not harsh. He's not a taskmaster. But you must seek him out. And again, when you do, he's easy to be received. He's easy to be entreated. Again, he doesn't force his way into our lives. He is the perfect gentleman. He's made salvation available to every person on the planet, great and small, no matter how bad you think you are. Jesus paid your price, and he's there for you to offer salvation, but he does not force it. He comes gently. He comes peacefully. He comes as the lamb who was slain. Again, we must not miss the day of our visitation. Jerusalem celebrated Jesus mightily, but they did not surrender to him. Again, we oftentimes do the same today. The Lamb has taken away our sin. Because he came as the final Passover Lamb, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are reconciled, we are made righteous. We were brought near, huh? So what works could never do, works of the flesh could never bring you near. You can't enter into the holies. No, you do, you're dead. Sin can't stand in the presence of a holy God. But through the blood of the Lamb, we're brought near. Furthermore, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we get to call him Abba, Daddy. Abba means daddy. That's a term of endearment, not just father who's at a distance. Abba, Abba. Daddy, Daddy, hallelujah. Glory to God, Daddy takes care of us. The Lamb has become our victory. We can see in the book of Revelation reveals Jesus as the Lamb who sits on the throne, the Lamb who shepherds, the Lamb who is our light, the Lamb who is our life. He's our life. He's our life. Every part of it, he is our life, the life of Christ. The Lamb who is slain is now the King of Kings who is reigning supreme. In this age and in all the ages to come, he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Glory to God, and he's our brother. Hallelujah. The Lamb who entered Jerusalem will one day, very soon, again, he's going to return in glory. Amen. So again, the Lamb who entered as the Lamb will return as the Lion. Palm Sunday is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of the week that changed the world. Amen. He came the first time in humility. He will come again in glory any day now. We're going to meet him in the air. He came the first time on a donkey. We'll see him come again on a white horse. Day of Atonement, he's coming back as that conquering king. He's coming back as the Lion. Look out. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Yeah, if you talk about having a coming to Jesus meeting, this earth is going to have a coming to Jesus meeting. What a day. What a day. The Lamb who came in peace will return in power. Palm Sunday points us to the Lamb, but it also prepares us for the Lion. Amen. So here today, as we wrap up, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb entered Jerusalem for you. The Lamb was presented for you. The Lamb who still calls your name today, he knows you by name. He knows you by name. And the scripture says, when you read over in Revelation, that when we get to heaven, that we will be given a stone and it will be a name known by him. It's a very unique name. He knows you by name, who you are now, but oh, he's got a name for you written down in glory. Oh, what a name. Hallelujah. I'm just, there's just so much. Just meditate on that. So I want to invite you today. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Jesus is calling. He's saying, behold the Lamb. Behold this Lamb. If you need salvation, he says, come. If you need forgiveness, he says, come. If you need deliverance, he says, come. If you need peace, he says, come. If you need restoration, come. If you need healing, come. If you need to return home to God, he says, come. His arms are open. His arms are open. He says, all that I did it for you. Everything I did it for you. We're going to look at this on Wednesday night, the passion, the seven places Jesus shed his blood for us. Each one of them, he did it specifically for us. Praise God. So I want to let you know here today, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a definite. Shall be saved. Jesus did all the work. So what do you need today? That word saved, it means sozo. It encompasses your internal salvation, born again spirit man, but it also encompasses every detail of your life. So again, Jesus didn't come just so one day you could go to heaven. The price that he paid encompassed spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, every realm of your life. Jesus paid it all. Amen. So whatever you have need of today, reach out, behold the Lamb, and receive. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Praise God. So let's all invite Jesus, number one, into our hearts, but receive whatever you need in your life. Receive Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Let's all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
He is your Son.
He is your Son.
Who came to this earth.
Who came to this
earth. Paid the price.
Paid the price.
At Calvary for my sin. I believe that Jesus, yes, you died, but on the third day, you rose again. Yes, Jesus, I'm asking you now. Come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13, that if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God, but you also have a kingdom purpose. You have a divine assignment tailor-made just for you. Nothing else fits it just like you're going to fit it. Amen. And when you'll step out in faith, the grace of God will be there to equip you so that you can walk it out in victory all the days of your life. Praise God. But we're going to be back here again on Wednesday night, 6:30. Again, we're going to be looking at seven places that Jesus shed his blood for us. And next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Hallelujah. Resurrection day. Oh, what a time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.